Okay, so you can have a seat. All right, so those of you that are here, okay, what happens in first service stays in first service. All right, can we agree to that? All right, Kurt is out of town. See what happened? Well, no, it's not because Kurt goes out of town. Actually, I'm going to tell you what, I love it when mistakes happen like this, because you know what it does for me? It diffuses the situation, and it reminds me that, you know what, God is totally in control. I mean, it does not matter, right, how prepped we think that we are. And I think sometimes God moves more when there's mistakes, because it just, you know, puts the focus on him. My name is Julie Butchtenkirk, and I am a part of the speaking team here at Cross Point. Kurt is on vacation, and yes, we do have to make a few tweaks here this morning, because at the beginning our screens weren't working, but praise God they're working now. So we're excited. Hopefully, you know, for those of you who made it here, congratulations, right? Because this is, you know, the beginning of the insanity known as the holiday season. And hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving, but now we're kind of off and running. And this is traditionally our first Sunday in our Christmas series, which you are well aware of already. Keep calm and jingle on. It's just ever so appropriate for us. And what we're going to do throughout the series each week is we're going to identify some practical ways and also some spiritual ways that we can keep calm through the Christmas season and kind of jingle on. Now, here's a poster of the original Keep Calm and Carry On slogan and poster. It's hanging outside of a used bookstore in Britain. And maybe you didn't know, but this original mantra, this original poster, it was actually created by the government of the United Kingdom back at the onset of World War II in 1939. And the government used it as a propaganda poster. They were trying to encourage the British people essentially to keep calm and carry on. You know, it was meant to inspire them. They didn't know if there'd be a Nazi invasion. They didn't know if there'd be wartime disasters. And so they had this poster hung throughout Britain to kind of encourage their people just to keep calm and carry on. Now, the original mantra has been changed. We've seen it on merchandise, right? We've seen it on t-shirts. I mean, it's been all over. But this poster was actually lost for about half a century. And then in the year 2000, it was rediscovered in a box of old books at the used bookstore called Barter Books, and that's where it hangs. And so, you know, really it's a mantra that works for every generation, really, when you think about it. I think that's one of the reasons we've embraced it so readily. It resonates with us right now, you know, in our culture. You know, political unrest, it's everywhere. We just went through a really tense presidential election. And, you know, really, regardless of your political affiliation, I mean, we definitely had a sense of political unrest in our society. And when you look at the world at large, there is a ton of political, social, financial unrest, just general unrest everywhere. And so it's really a mantra that I think we've embraced to keep calm and carry on. And, you know, back 2,000 years ago, they could have used this. You know, around the time that Jesus was born, because the circumstances surrounding the birth of Christ were crazy and chaotic. And we're going to go into specific details throughout this series, you know, but talk about a sense of political unrest. You know, at the time that Jesus was born, there was a political leader, and his name was King Herod. He decided that after Jesus had been born, he ordered the massacre of all baby boys 2 years old and younger, because he did not want this new king that was born to grow up and take his throne and take his place. I mean, so, you know, talk about political unrest. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, the circumstances around Christ's birth were anything, you know, we sing Silent Night, and, you know, the circumstances were anything but calm. You know, I mean, when you just think about it quickly, it's like, all right, here's a teenage girl, Mary, you're a teenager, you're going to get pregnant, You know, you're only engaged, you've never slept with a man, but you're going to become pregnant. And then right about the time the baby's due, you're going to need to take a really long journey on a donkey, which is going to be uncomfortable. And you're going to travel for a long time. You got to go back to your husband's hometown because they're doing a census. And so right when you get there, there will be no place for you to rest. There's no hotels, there's no motels, no rooms for you to rent, you know, none of that, because everybody else is in town, right? Mass humanity for this census. And so these are just a couple. I mean, these are only a few of the chaotic details surrounding the birth of Christ. You know, probably if there were bumper stickers back then, I think Joseph would have slapped one on the end of that donkey, you know, and as they're heading towards Bethlehem, we would have, you know, people would have seen keep calm and carry on. And so that's what we're going to try to do. We've tweaked this British mantra for our holiday series, and we invite you over the next few weeks to come with us and to keep calm and to jingle on. Now, you're like, Julie, that's really great, but that's a load of malarkey. You probably haven't heard that word in a while, malarkey. That's like something my grandma would say. Okay, so you're like, no, the holidays are nuts. You know, that's just not going to happen. Well, here's a holiday, a sample of a holiday to-do list, okay? So let's take a look at this. You see if any of these things, okay, on this list ring a bell, okay? I mean, no pun intended with the bell. Okay, so we've got shopping for gifts, putting up the decorations, holiday parties, making enough cookies to give away, fighting the traffic, having enough money, gaining weight, being part of a family that celebrates separately because of a divorce, sending out Christmas cards, untangling the evil strands of lights, cleaning, feeling pressure to make a memory, facing relatives you don't get along with, knowing that maybe you'll spend Christmas alone, travel schedules and arrangements, crowded stores, missing loved ones who have passed away, making holiday plans without offending family members, wrapping presents, and then quite possibly the three scariest words at Christmas time, some assembly required. I know. So when you see this list, okay, in front of you, I mean, we didn't, but if we gauged our blood pressure or our heart rate, I'm sure they were starting to go up as you're just like looking at this list. I mean, we can see, and this doesn't include everything, you know, why Christmas is just a time of increased stress for most people. And yet, the irony in that is that every year, don't we think this is the year? This is it. I'm going to go into the holidays. It's going to be calm. It's going to be great. You know, we long for that like peaceful, calm, kind of organized holiday experience. You know, I mean, that's what our hearts long for. So how can we do that? How are we going to navigate through the season? You know, what can we do? Well, Jesus has some awesome advice for us. And over the next few weeks, we're going to be taking a look not only at the Christmas story, but some different stories in God's Word that will show us how to find peace, calm, and serenity in the midst of the chaos, you know, despite that holiday to-do list that is totally hanging over our heads. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at a story, and it's about Jesus being a guest in somebody's home. Now, many, many years ago, obviously, he was a guest. He was visiting someone's home, and the host was freaking out. I mean, she was just totally in a twirl. And Jesus gave her the best piece of advice. And so we're going to take a look at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. It says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.'" Oh, I just, there's no sigh in there, but I could almost see the Lord like, "Oh, Marcia, Marcia, Marcia. Well, Martha, Martha, Martha." You know, you can almost hear him sighing. You know, "You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So here's this party, this gathering, this dinner going on. We have a hostess named Martha. She has opened up her home to Jesus and his friends while they're in town, and she is stressed out. Okay? I mean, Jesus is a special guest in her home. She wants everything to be just so. And really, can we blame her? I mean, we would probably be the exact same way. Okay? And her sister Mary is just not helping. Now, Scripture doesn't say, you know, maybe Mary was helping before Jesus got there, but once Jesus arrives, Mary is done helping. I mean, she plops herself at Jesus' feet, and she is there to listen to him, to talk to him, you know, just to be around him, and Martha is ticked. She's mad. I mean, she's letting her frustration get the best of her, so much so that she's going to go complain to Jesus, you know? And so she goes to Jesus, and I'm thinking, you know, knowing Jesus and what Scripture says, he probably was teaching or talking or listening to somebody. You know, so in a way, I'm thinking she probably had to interrupt him. So she interrupts him, and then with a tone of voice that, once again, I'm thinking is not all sugary sweet, because she is, after all, complaining, you know, she says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." I mean, that's sassy, don't you think? I'm thinking Martha's a little sassy, you know, talking to Jesus this way. You know, she's like, "Tell her to help me. Come on, Lord. Get her going." And then do you notice how she's trying to get her sister into trouble? You love how siblings do that? I mean, maybe it's only in my house. I don't know. You know, "Dad, Evan's playing video games again. Mom, Evan didn't brush his teeth." You know, every now and then they kind of take turns throwing each other under the bus. But in this particular event, if we can grasp what Jesus says to Martha, why he says it to her, that is a piece of advice that we can use to create a calm this holiday season and really throughout the entire year. Okay, so what does Jesus say to Martha, who's freaking out? She's stressed. She's got way too much to do, not enough time to do it. Completely sounds like us around the holidays, right? We can relate to that. And Jesus advises her, "Martha, simply focus on what is needed." Now, why would Jesus say that to her? Why would he say, "Focus on what is needed"? You know, focus, Martha, focus. Because Martha was distracted. I mean, Scripture says she was distracted. She was getting herself freaked out, worried, upset, frustrated by all the preparations that she was doing, you know? And that, I know, sounds like us around Christmas time trying to fit in all the things that we think need to be done every Christmas. And so Jesus was trying to help her. Jesus was trying to give her some advice to say, "Hey, Martha, this will create a calm. This is going to create a peace for you. This is going to create a calm for you." And so he tells her only one thing is needed. I know you're doing all this other stuff, okay, but only one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen what is better. Now, he's not saying that Mary is better. He's not saying, "Well, your sister is better." But Mary realized something. Mary realized that while Jesus was in their home, he was more important than all the preparations that had to be made. Spending time with him, once he arrived, that was a higher priority. You know, Martha's choice was not bad. The Lord does not reprimand her. The Lord does not say, "Martha, what are you doing with that stupid floral centerpiece? Stop wasting your time," right? I mean, no, her choices were not bad. She was probably doing what any one of us would do, making it cozy, making it welcoming, making sure that there's enough, you know, food and drink for everybody. So her choices were not bad, but were they the wisest choice at that time, at that moment? And no, they weren't, because Jesus was now here. Jesus was here in her home, and she was going to quite possibly completely miss out on the opportunity to visit with him, because ironically, she was so distracted by getting things ready for his arrival. She was so busy and distracted trying to make things nice for him. And all of our Christmas preparations are awesome. I mean, nobody loves them more than me, ask my husband. I mean, they're fun, they build family memories, right? They get us in the holiday spirit. But when you strip everything away from Christmas, I mean, kind of like the Grinch did to Whoville, okay? If you strip everything away from Christmas, there is only one thing needed to bring a calm to your holiday experience, and that's Jesus. And that spending time in a personal, intimate love relationship with him, you know, not only with those that we love, but spending time with Jesus. I mean, that's really what's needed to create a calm at Christmas. Because, you know, ironically, if we get so busy and distracted by all the preparations that we do for Jesus' birthday celebration, that then we completely forget to sing to the birthday boy, or we forget to even dialogue with him and say, "Happy birthday, Jesus." I mean, we've completely missed out on the whole point of the season, right? And it's when that happens that Christmas comes and goes, and then we're let down and we're like, "What was missing? I did all these traditions. I think I did all the stuff I wanted to do." And yet we still feel like something was completely missing, you know, from our holidays, from that event. I mean, it could very well be like you've gone to a wedding reception or you have gone to a graduation party and everything's lovely and everything looks beautiful and everything's all prepared and you leave and you're like, "Well, gosh, what was missing?" And maybe you just never, ever saw the guest of honor. You know, you went to the wedding, but you never, ever, you know, spoke and did the receiving line with the bride and groom and said congratulations. You were at the graduation party and never said congratulations. What are your future plans? You know, you failed to spend any time with the guest of honor. And so that would feel like, you know, like something was missing. So Jesus advises Martha. He says, focus on what is needed. You know, hey, Martha, you need to prioritize here. And Jesus comes first. You know, we can't get so busy with all of the outward stuff, you know, at Christmas, that we forget, once again, the one thing that's going to bring the calm in the midst of the chaos. And that's a quiet and peaceful worship of the Lord, you know, through the holiday season. Now, what does that look like? Does that mean that we're going to all go strike up yoga poses in the corner and meditate for the rest of the holidays and just, "Oh, I can't do absolutely anything. I have to sit in quiet meditation of the Lord"? No. What does a quiet and peaceful worship of the Lord look like through the holidays? We want to create a calm at home, right? We want to focus on the one thing that is needed, which is Jesus. It's all about him. And yet we want to incorporate all these fun things that we do to prepare for the celebration. So, you know, how do we do this? Well, we want to create calm. And so welcome to Practical Tips 101 with Julie this morning. Here is our calm acrostic. Is that the word or acronym? I think those will both fit. So here's just some practical tips. Now, a lot of these are common sense, I know, but since we're here at the onset, you know, maybe if we can get our brains kind of spinning, we can approach the holidays a little more prepared. So C for calm, calendar management. Seems obvious, but you know what? If you have kids, ask them, say, "Hey, what's the one or two things that you want to make sure we do this Christmas holiday?" You know, ask your friends and your family, you know, because if you do not get those scheduled first, dates set aside for those, you know what'll happen. You know, I mean, things get busy and crazy and parties come up and work obligations, and pretty soon, you know, the things that you love the most, you know, you haven't done. And so put those on the calendar first. C-A, accept imperfection. Okay, so Eric and I, when we were newlyweds, we lived in Virginia, and so we had to fly home to Chicago for Christmas. And so we put, not saying this is good advice, all of our presents into one suitcase. And so we fly into O'Hare, and, you know, we're going to baggage claim, and present suitcase is not there. Long story short, someone else had picked it up. It was a cheddarhead from Wisconsin, couldn't apparently recognize his own suitcase. And so he took our suitcase with him to Wisconsin. And so my father-in-law had to drive up to Wisconsin and get our suitcase. And we're glad we got it back. But it was like, whoa, wait a minute. This is like, we don't have our presents now. That's, you know, and everything was off a little bit. So imperfect happens all the time. And this is hard for ladies, right? Because we watch HGTV. We see those magazines, okay? Yeah, and we see the overachieving freaks like Martha Stewart, and suddenly I'm supposed to want to make 535 homemade bows, you know? I mean, so suddenly there's this expectation of what our houses should look like and what we should be doing for Christmas. But can we accept imperfection, okay? So you didn't get 23 different kinds of Christmas cookies made this year, okay? So your husband was not able to outdo the Clark Griswold across the street. You know, here's a Butchtenkirk tip for you. We do Christmas newsletters every 5 years.
That buys us plenty of time, and then the people actually want to read the newsletter. Because it's been 5 years. They have no idea what's happening with us, okay? So you can do that as well. We have we don't call it annual, but it's like our every 5 year Christmas newsletter. I mean, is the world gonna stop spinning on its axis? No. And talk about an imperfect Christmas. I mean, the first Christmas, the night of Christ's birth, was that not completely imperfect? I'm sure Mary and Joseph did not think for a second that this is how it was supposed to go. Here's the most significant event ever. God is coming to earth in the form of flesh, and you mean to tell me the only place for him to lay his head is in a trough where animals eat? Doesn't something seem weird about that? But that was God's perfectly imperfect plan for lots of reasons. He made it that way. And so, you know, I say rah, rah, imperfection, okay? You know, keep a journal of imperfection. You know, and you can look back. Oh, remember last year, this happened. You know, you can keep a Christmas journal of imperfection things. Okay, so C-A, and then L is love on those closest to you. Once again, seems very obvious, but we could get caught up making our 535 bows, and we're telling our kids, yeah, we'll watch that Christmas movie later. I got to make more bows. You know, we need to love on those closest to us. You know, God, our spouse, our family. I mean, that's the recipe for success all year, but especially at Christmas. It's about being with those that we love, right? Celebrating Jesus and his birthday. And so, you know, make that date night with your spouse, your boyfriend or girlfriend. Make sure you still do that. You know, make sure you still get to church on Sundays. You know, and the next 4 weeks are just, you know, we've kind of catered them to be a worshipful holiday experience, you know, and then just make sure that you carve out that time with the family and friends that you love. So C-A-L-M is meet a need. Now, when you give to others, many families make giving just an integral part of their Christmas celebration. And we at Crosspoint have provided ways for you to give. But you can also look around and say, where is there a need I can fill? You know, where's a need that I can meet that's around me? You know, do I have a coworker? Do I have a neighbor that I know every year they're alone? You know, maybe you could invite them over during the week for just a nice holiday-ish dinner and watch a Christmas movie or something with you. You know, I mean, where's a need that I can fill? And then we do have, like Eric mentioned, you know, the spread some cheer boxes. And these are really easy. The kids, if you have kids, they really like to do this because it can be like a scavenger hunt throughout the grocery store. On here is everything you need for a Christmas dinner. You buy them, check them off the list, put them in the box, bring the box back to Crosspoint, and they are literally delivered to families in need from people at Crosspoint. You know, and they may not otherwise have that nice of a meal. They might not be able to afford. You know, we're giving them to families who need that extra help. You know, there's an expression that you are never more like God than when you give. Because that is the heart of God. He is about giving. That's what he does. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. I mean, that's the message of Christmas. So hopefully some of these practical things that we just kind of ran through will help, but the real key as you're creating this calm in your home is the piece of advice that Jesus gave to the stressed out hostess, and that is to focus on what is needed, and that's him. So as you go about these next 4 weeks, okay, as we are going to do our best to keep calm and jingle on, look for Jesus everywhere. Look for the spiritual dimension in everything, in every aspect of your holiday. Because Jesus is not just in the manger at Christmas time. You know, we are really good at like separating and compartmentalizing, you know, Christmas. It's like, here's Jesus in the nativity scene and midnight mass and our special holiday, you know, services. And then over here is all the rest. All that horrible stuff, the secular, the lights, the trees, the presents, you know. We've separated these two because, yes, our society has forgotten, right, what Christmas is all about. But can we be the ones to remind them, you know, that our focus is on Christ? We can look for him everywhere. Look for the spiritual dimension in every aspect, okay? For example, house cleaning. And you never thought of this, I know. But house cleaning is like you are getting ready to welcome Christ into your home. You are making things clean and ready for somebody important, right? When you clean, that's typically what you do. I mean, I know we only clean when somebody important has come into the house. So, so you are making things clean and ready for somebody that's important. So there is a spiritual dimension to scrubbing your toilet. And I know you didn't know that. And so, you know, just coming this morning for that alone is just a great tip for you to make it through the holidays. So as you're cleaning, you know, could that not be an offering as you're going about your cleaning? Lord, help me as I'm cleaning my home. Help me to clean my heart. I want this Christmas season, I want to be open and clean and receptive and ready to welcome you and celebrate on that day. Gift giving is like, you know, the wise men giving to Christ. I mean, unless you're going around giving presents to people you hate, gift giving is an expression of love. You know, when the wise men traveled and found the Christ child and presented him with gifts, they were acknowledging that he was the newborn king, that he was the Messiah, as they bowed down and worshiped him. It was definitely an expression of love. And when we give gifts to people, that's what we're expressing. God is all about, you know, giving. So when you're out shopping, don't feel like you're doing this horrific materialistic thing and you're leaving Jesus out of Christmas. I mean, when you find that gift, you know, that fun where you're like, oh, I just want to get this for this person because I know how much they're going to love it and they're going to be so happy and I'm so happy. That joy that you feel, that's God. He is all about giving. So as you approach your gift giving, you know, remember how they bless the Christ child, you know, and as you are blessing people you love with gifts. Decorating is, well, for those of you who like it, it could be like offering up your talents, your passion, things that you like to do. I mean, maybe you are the kind of person that likes to make the 535 bows. I mean, go ahead, rock on. But, you know, that can be an element of worship to the Lord. You know, I mean, when you think about it, it's somewhat ironic that when we plan a wedding, right, we will spend months and months and months planning, picking out colors, picking out centerpieces, picking out decorations, you know, and then we have kids, and now it's kids' birthday party. We need a theme, okay? Got to have a theme, and now every element of the birthday party, it has to fit with the theme, so I got to be doing something to coordinate all that. You know, we'll spend time, because these are events and celebrations in our life that celebrate people we love, and yet, here is the King of Kings coming to earth. We are setting aside a period of time in our calendar year to remember him. Why would we not decorate for him? Why would we not make it beautiful for him? It's a birthday celebration, after all. So it's going to be difficult, okay? Because once again, every year, right, we're like, this is the year. It's going to be calm. It's going to be great. So what I want to do is I just want to take a moment and pray for us. I'm excited to pray for all of us because I feel like, you know, God wants us to be focused. He wants us to enjoy the holidays, and he wants us to focus on what is needed, and then that permeates the rest of our holidays. So I'm going to pray. While I'm praying, do me a favor. Take out your 3D glasses, those hip and cool 3D glasses, and just hold on to them, okay? Put them in your hand and just kind of hold on to them while I'm praying. Okay. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, thank you for every person in here this morning, Lord, that all these folks were able to get here on this busy holiday weekend. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless each of us as we now go into the holiday season and help us to focus on what is needed. And Lord, that's you. To just worship and calm, peaceful worship of you, Lord. Help us to realize that every facet of this holiday could be an offering to you. Lord, help us not to be distracted by all the preparations. Help us not to be so worried and upset, Lord. But I pray that you would guide our hearts, guide our steps, guide our calendar, Lord. Speak to each of us so that we can honor you and bless you and just celebrate your birthday, Lord, and the gift that you are to us. In Jesus' name. Okay, now, your 3D glasses, okay? This earlier in the service, you used them. Now, in a perfect world, you know, it would be like this. You know, I mean, it would be like, you know, Eric said, Julian, you'll be 3D. I'm not 3D enough. Yeah. Okay, so we're hoping, and it is a little bit, but you get the gist, okay? When you don't have the 3D glasses on, it's a little fuzzy, right? It's a little hazy, you know, especially if you're in a 3D movie theater. I mean, it definitely is, right? But then when you put those 3D glasses on, something happens. The picture becomes clearer, there's clarity, you can see what's there a little bit better, right? And why? Because you are putting on a different type of lens. You are looking through a special lens, and that special lens changes the way you view things. Now, if we can change the way we view Christmas through a different type of lens, we will begin to view it and experience it differently. I mean, we can have a fuzzy, out of focus, kind of chaotic holiday, you know, or we can have a calm, focused, peaceful holiday. It totally depends on the lens that we're going to use. It's going to be the lens that you choose to go through the holiday season with. Now, you know how tragedy will bring things into hyper focus all of a sudden, the things that really matter? Well, last year at Christmas, Eric was in the front yard putting up Christmas lights, and we heard this horrible noise, and I knew right away he had fallen. And sure enough, you know, the ladder went one way, he went the other way. He had fallen from the top of the ladder straight down to the hard ground on his back. I mean, he wasn't able to turn or brace himself at all. It was just like thud. And, you know, we called the ambulance because he could hardly breathe. The wind was knocked out of him. But what concerned me was he kept saying he couldn't move. Like he was in so much pain even that he couldn't move. And I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, ambulance, come. And so, because, you know, you're thinking, what if he's got a cracked rib, punctured lung, better not move. So he's going off in the stretcher. Olivia is like crying her eyeballs, you know, Daddy's going to die. You know, Evan's over the stretcher going, Dad, can I stay here and play football? You know, and he did. And so we go to the hospital. Now, until we knew the x-rays were okay, until we knew that nothing was wrong, nothing was broken, he's going to be okay, I tell you what, all that Christmas stuff, oh, out the window, right? I mean, it does not matter all of a sudden. All those things that you fret and worry and freak about, it didn't matter. It brought things into focus. Now, we know you're not going to carry these around, okay, all season. I think it would be cool if you did, personally, you know, but put them somewhere. You know, put them on your dashboard, put them on your windowsill where you wash dishes, you know, put them on your Christmas tree. You know, let it serve as a reminder that I want to view Christmas differently. I need to use a different lens, a lens that's going to help me focus on what is needed, and that's Christ, so that I'll see him in everything this holiday season. And so that's our prayer for you as we go through this series, you know, that you will see Jesus in everything. That everything you do, make it an offering to him and focus on what is needed.